It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today on the program, I sit down with a good buddy of mine. We've become really good friends over the years. The season's off and running. We're 3 weeks in. I want to get his take on what he's seeing from this 2024 Mariners team. The voice of the Mariners, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Riz. Rizzer, thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, Boney, how you doing? Any time to spend some quality time, fun time with you is really a joy for me. So it's great to see you, buddy.
You're in Texas.
Yeah.
Getting ready. You had a little off day, getting ready to crank it up again. I just want your early impressions. You know, you went spring. Some of the faces changed this year. Teoscar left. Suarez left. You brought in Polanco. Mitch Garver from the world champion Texas Rangers, a few other names out there that we haven't seen before. You went through spring training with them. You went through the first 3 weeks of the season. We're sitting here at 11-11 in second place. Rick Riz's take.
Well, Boney, I tell you what, Jerry DePoto, I thought, did a really good job changing the look of this ball club. The strength of the club is starting pitching. I mean, I wouldn't trade the starting staff for any staff in baseball right now. When you got Luis Castillo at the top, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Bryce Miller has been absolutely fantastic here in the early part of the year, and he's going to have a great season. Emerson Hancock, who was going to be the number six guy, became the number five guy when Brian Wu went on the IL at the start of the year. So what I've seen so far is an offense that has changed, that was supposed to strike out less, walk more, but they were walking less and striking out more at the start of the year because guys got off to a rough start. About a few weeks into the season, you know, I'm taking a look at the lineup and seven guys were hitting under 200, and now they're starting to come around. I think there's, you know, obvious reasons for that, but they still have one of the most exciting players in the game of baseball, and Julio Rodriguez. They're starting to hit right now, so I think this ball club is going to be just fine, a chance to get to the playoffs again. But that starting pitching even had a blip in the early part of the season in the first 10 or 12 games. Luis Castillo really struggled. He's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and now he's been outstanding his last two starts. So that's what I've seen, is that the offense wasn't there yet. Mitch Haniger comes back to the ball club. He's off to a good start. J.P. Crawford's going to get going. Julio is off to a slow start, but now you're seeing his bat really come around right now. He's driving the ball. Cal Raleigh's been outstanding. So they just got off to a slow start. I remember you got off to a slow start in April, and after
never,
April.
Never.
Yes, you did. You got off to a slow start. You and Blowers, for whatever reason. So that's what I'm seeing. But besides that, too, you know, I think it's a shock, too. You're in Arizona for 6 weeks, where the temperature is 75, 80, 85 degrees every day, and you head to the hinterlands up north, and it takes a little while for the guys to get their timing down. That was basically the issue with the offense. But now they're really on a nice roll, and I think this ball club is going to have a great year.
Now, you mentioned Aprils, and especially as a hitter, you're right, and we joke about it, but
yeah,
as a hitter, what we try to do is just get me into the dog days, get me into the summer where the weather's nice and it's warm. If it's not that I don't think in my career I ever had an unbelievable April where I just came out of April smoking. Yeah. It's like just hold serve. Get through the month of April, do well record-wise, 500 or better, and then get into May and you find out what kind of team you have. You mentioned Hancock filling in for Wu. I saw Wu went on a rehab assignment. How close are we seeing Wu come back?
Yeah, he just had a rehab assignment only a few days ago, and he went 3 innings, struck out 5 guys. This kid really hasn't pitched that much, Booney. He had Tommy John surgery when he was in college at Cal Poly State University, and we still drafted him in the 6th round. He would have been a first-round pick. Kid's very, very talented. He finally pitched in the minor leagues last year, was very impressive, called up to the big leagues about a third of the way into the season, did a really nice job. But then he had some inflammation in his right elbow, right here, and they had to shut him down. But there was Emerson Hancock right there waiting in the rings. This kid came up toward the end of last season, made 3 starts, and he was ready to go. He won his first start against the Cleveland Indians, and that was his first win in the big leagues. Stumbled a little bit, as most guys do, in the next few starts, and now he's back. He pitched really well in his last outing and got a win against the Colorado Rockies. So Wu is right there. And like I said, the Mariners are really deep. They got other kids out of the minor leagues that are on their way as well. Jerry DePoto, Justin Hollander, Andy McKay, Scott Hunter, our director of amateur scouting, they've done a heck of a job to load up this organization with talent, especially on the pitching side. Logan Gilbert was a first-round pick in 2018 out of Stetson. George Kirby is one of the best pitchers in the league right now. First-round pick 2019 out of Little Elon University. Emerson Hancock, first-round pick out of University of Georgia in 2020. Then you have Bryce Miller, fourth-round pick out of Texas A&M, who's been outstanding. Brian Wu out of Cal Poly. So they've done a really great job of loading up the organization with pitching. And right now, 3 of the 5 starters are first-round picks in 2018, 2019, and 2020. So these guys are going to be around for a long time.
You know, I look at this rotation, Riz, and I'm with you. I look at the division. I think the division's as vulnerable as it's been in a lot of years with that stronghold that the Houston Astros have had on it. When it comes down to it, and whether people want to hear it or not, you're right. The strength of this ball club is pitching. It will be. I don't care what the offense says. The offense, to me, when they're good, they're middle of the pack, Rick. They're never going to be top. They're never going to be a Texas or a Houston. I think my personal feeling offensively, but they're good enough to hang around. They got some power. You mentioned Raleigh. He's got 5 home runs now. But it is. It comes and goes. This team's going to walk. They're going to win. They're going to lose. And it's all going to be that starting pitch. The thing I like about their starting pitching is we always talk about having that stopper on the mound. Okay, usually your number one guy is your stopper. Well, I look at this team up and down, especially with how good Miller's been. Miller's been outstanding. He's kind of righted the ship. Kirby had a couple rough outings, which is very rare for Kirby. Castillo started off with a couple outings. I'm looking at this schedule. Their last 10 starts, the worst a starter has done is given up 2. So they're on a run. They're getting back. But it's nice as a position player coming to the ballpark. And you always had those guys that could stop a losing streak, we used to call it. Oh, so-and-so's on the mound tonight. We win tonight. Well, with this rotation, if they get things going, like you said, they potentially have 5 of those guys. How's the bullpen look for you? Numbers-wise, they're number 2 in the American League, only behind the Yankees, who've got a power pen. They brought over Stanek. But it seems like DePoto, and I will give him credit here, it seems like the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a lot of comings and goings in that Seattle bullpen, but it remains really steady. And the pieces he's moved in this year, he brought in Stanek, who's got a lot of he comes from a winning organization in the Houston Astros. He knows what it's like to be there in the postseason. He's kind of steadied the ship for him out there in the bullpen, especially until Brash gets well and back in that pen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the bullpen has been very, very good without Matt Brash, who's still down at spring training down in Peoria throwing live BP. And he's, I think, just a few days away from going to a rehab assignment with AAA Tacoma. And don't forget Gregory Santos, who the Mariners acquired from the Chicago White Sox. He didn't pitch at all during the course of the spring. So when they get these two guys back, along with Andrés Muñoz, who's one of the great wipeout relievers in all the baseball, the kid's amazing, along with Ryan Stanek, who was a tremendous addition. But the other pieces in that bullpen just fit so well. You have the big names. You know, you had Paul Sewald last year and Munoz to get to those guys in the eighth and ninth inning. Scott has done a great job to use Munoz in the high leverage spots. If the middle of the order is coming in the eighth inning, that's when Munoz goes in. Stanek takes care of the ninth inning, so he has a couple of saves on the year. But Trent Thornton has had an outstanding year. I call him the plumber because he fixes leaks. A couple of times, two, three times, he's come in with a game on the line in the sixth inning or in the seventh inning and gotten some big outs to get it to Stanek and Munoz. And Gabe Spire, a lefty who's, you know, his fastball is pretty good, 94, 95, but his slider is excellent. He's the king of first pitch strikes. He's done a great job. Along with the other guys down in the bullpen, Taylor Saucedo has pitched very well. So they're able to recognize guys, whether they're in their organization, down in the minor leagues, or from other organizations, and tell them, this is what you're good at. You know, let's do this. And the other guys as well. Logan Gilbert, for example, loves the tinker. 3 years ago, he worked on reshaped his slider to go along with his fastball and his curveball. And then last year, he adds a splitter. And this year, he adds a cutter. So now he's, you know, just having a tremendous year. He's got a lot of weapons. You talked about Bryce Miller. Miller was basically, you know, a fastball, predominantly fastball pitcher. And left-handed hitters were just killing him, hitting over 300. Right-handed hitters were hitting about 200. And this offseason, he comes up with a splitter. Now he's got something to go along with his other breaking pitch and his fastball to get left-handed hitters out. Left-handed hitters aren't hitting him at all. They're hitting nothing off of his splitter. So the organization and Pete Woodworth and Trent Blank, and I give everybody in the organization, you know, on the pitching side, a lot of credit for recognizing who these guys are and then making them a better version of themselves. And even though that roster has really changed down to the bullpen over the last 3 and 4 years, the Mariners 3 years ago were about one win away from getting to the playoffs. 2 years ago, they got to the playoffs with that Cal Raleigh home run to beat the Oakland A's pinch hit home run. They were one win away from getting to the playoffs last year. They have done an amazing job on the pitching side to reshape the bullpen and create one of the best starting staffs in all of baseball, and they're young, as we mentioned, a lot of first round picks there. So these guys are outstanding at what they do, and it really shows on the field.
Switch over to the offensive side of the ball, and the constants that have been there. Raleigh, who I think's really become a great backstop, yeah. Riz, you know, you talk about his power. He's going to hit 25. You can kind of book that he's going to hit 25, but his catch throw skills are elite, and I think. And I realized this with my tenure in Seattle and what my dad always used to tell me, how important the catching position is. But I really did take the catching position for granted till I was in Seattle. And I really saw the inner workings and the way Dan Wilson had that relationship with those pitchers. And it is something big to come to the ballpark and like, as a starting pitcher, especially a talented starting rotation, to like the guy you're throwing to. I think they have that rapport in Seattle. I think that's great. Talk about the new guys we see. Canzone, who's hurt. But talk about Polanco, Haniger coming back to Seattle. Always a fan favorite there. Staying healthy. Knock on wood for Haniger. I sent him a text before the season started. I said, son of a bitch. Stay healthy, would you? Quit getting hurt.
You can say bad words on a podcast.
You can say whatever you want. Cool. Mitch Garver coming over from Texas off to a slow start, but just this offense overall, Rick, first 3 weeks, quick snapshot.
Okay. Quick snapshot. The guys were struggling the first, 10, 12 days, first couple of weeks of the season, as I mentioned earlier, that the timing was off. The key to this offense, Boney, is putting the ball in play. Slug is great. I love home runs. And you got guys in the lineup that are going to hit home runs. Jimmy Crawford hit 19 home runs last year. He had 6 leadoff home runs. Julio Rodriguez with 32 home runs. So you got power, you know, at the top of the lineup. But they are the pistons to the engine to this offense. When Crawford and Julio are going, that's when the Mariners, you know, really take off. Now you add Mitch Haniger back to the mix. And Haniger's gotten off to a great start with the bat. And, yes, we need to keep, you know, this guy healthy, and he is. And he's going to be healthy all season long, knock on wood. And the other guys, Jorge Polanco, got off to a slow start as well. But this guy from both sides of the plate is going to drive the ball into the gaps, and he's got some power as well. Cal Raleigh, you know, does a lot of damage in the middle part of the order from both sides of the plate. We were just in Colorado batting left-handed. He did an opposite field homer to left field at Coors Field, which is tough to do on a night where it was 33 degrees and snowing, so the ball doesn't travel through well through snowflakes. But this kid is going to have, you know, a tremendous year. Ty France is a guy, Booney, that does a great job of putting the ball in play, drives the ball up the middle. That's his thing, and driving the ball the other way. If he's a little bit late, he can hit the ball to right field a little bit early. He pulls the ball to left field, and I love watching Ty France hit. I think this kid one day is going to be 300 hitter. Mitch Garver off to a slow start, but he hit 270 last year for the Rangers with 19 home runs and 50 RBIs and played about, I think, about 87 games or so. Hit his first home run of the year the other day, so I think Garver's going to get going. He hasn't forgotten how to hit, so he's going to be just fine. Canzone was off to a great start. Left-handed hitter who can drive the ball the other way, 3 home runs. He made an incredible catch at home in a game against the Cincinnati Reds. As he caught the ball, he just slammed into the wall in left field and had a contusion and a strain in his left shoulder. So he's going to be out for a little while. Jose Rojas, they went with a platoon at third base, Jose Rojas and Luis Urias. And Rojas has been hitting since day one of the season. Left-handed hitter, puts the ball in play, hit a home run the other day, a pinch hit home run the other day against the Cincinnati Reds. Urias is starting to get going offensively. He's made some really good plays at third base. That's a position where normally you don't platoon, but these two guys, just watching Rojas and Urias, they're getting it done. The kid that has given the Mariners a spark, Booney, you're going to love this kid, Jonathan Clase. He was down in the minor leagues, hitting 311, couple of home runs, 11 runs batted in, and a few stolen bases. This kid gave us a spark that the Mariners needed and started the first game at back home against the Cincinnati Reds. The Mariners were really struggling, lost a bunch of ball games, and in his major league debut, got a base hit, drove in a run. His next day, got his first extra base hit, drove in another run. In the minor leagues last year, he had 20-plus home runs, and he had 79 stolen bases. He was the first player in the minor league history since 1961 to hit 20 or more home runs and steal 70 or more bases. And I tell you what, he's been fun to watch. He got a base hit into right field a couple of days ago in Colorado with the bases loaded, and the ball got on by Bouchard, the right fielder for the Rockies, for an error, and 3 runs scored. He was flying around the bases. I love watching this kid run, and he tried to score the relay by Trejo. The second baseman was in time, and they got Class A at home. But he cleared the bases with a single into right field. And now you have a leadoff batter in the number 9 spot. J.P. Crawford, I think, is one of the best shortstops in all of baseball.
I agree
defensively, offensively. He doesn't get enough credit, Booney, for what he does. But you're going to see an offense that's it's going to get going, and we're seeing it right now the last week where they're putting the ball in play. They won 7-0. They won 10-2. The 2 wins in Colorado. You're going to see the walks go back up where they belong. The strikeouts come down where they belong. And this offense is going to add quite a bit to a great pitching staff. I'm excited about this team. Yeah.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Yeah, and
I look at it, and once again, we'll get to it a little bit more when we go over the division a little bit, but I see a vulnerability in this division for the first time in a while. And I still don't want to discount Houston. I've been going over them on paper and the injuries that they have. I'm never going to discount that level of talent they have out there. But I think for the first time, Mariner, it's a vulnerable division. I think you got to win the division. The thing that's frustrated me, and probably a lot of Mariner fans, is we talk about, whoa, 2 years ago, we went to the postseason. Rich or Rizzo, man, I played there, and I know what that place is like. I know what those fans are like. And the fact I look in the last 20 years, we've been to the postseason twice or 22 years. And I just think it's crazy to me. The talent level, the ballpark, the city, the fans, they're so great. And I just don't know if the culture's been there. That attitude of, hey, we're going to get to the playoffs this year. Instead of that attitude of like a Tampa Bay. You walk into that Tampa Bay locker room. Doesn't matter how much money they're spending. They've always been a low spending team, smaller market. This year, I think they're spending $80 million. But when you go to spring training and you walk in those doors, it's not a matter of if you're going to the playoffs. It's if you're going to win a division, is this going to be the year you win the World Series? I think that culture needs to take hold in Seattle. Maybe this is the beginning of it, because I think it's a waste every year in and year out. Like, oh, are we going to make the playoffs? That should be a prerequisite. We're the Seattle Mariners. We're good. We have enough. We have the facility. We have everything around us. And it's got to be a winning culture. And it drives me crazy from the outside watching almost get there year in and year out. I could imagine you in the booth every day going, you think I'm frustrated. Rick Riz watches it every day. It's tough when you pour your heart and your soul from the booth into this organization. And it's like, oh, we made it that one time. So I'm not going to get you into the weeds with that. That's just one interpretation from an ex-player who's now a guy that keeps a special eye on Seattle, because that's kind of my place and where I'm I'm known from.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, watching this team every day and watching what Jerry has done and the rebuild or the reset, whatever you wanted to call it, with the trade of Robinson Cano and Diaz had to go to make that happen. This club is building a winning culture. Over the last 3 years, the Mariners have won 88 or more games. Only one of five teams have done that over the last 3 years. We're talking about, the Houston Astros and the Toronto Blue Jays. And, I'm missing a couple of other teams as well. And right. So the Yankees. So they're getting there. And they got to the playoffs for the first time in a long time, 21 years, a couple of years ago. And then, they ran into the Houston Astros when they were the Houston Astros. And like you said, they're vulnerable right now. I think this ball club is going to top the Houston Astros. I think this ball club will top the Texas Rangers. So they're building that culture and that atmosphere. They were just one win away from getting to the playoffs last year. They were so doggone close. But they lost Robbie Ray. In his first start of the season last year, this guy was a Cy Young Award winner. A couple of years before that, they lost Robbie. Then you have to call up the kids. Chris Flexen's jumped into that role and really struggled, for four starts. So here comes Bryce Miller. And then Marco Gonzalez struggled, bless his heart. Love Marco. And then here comes Brian Wu. So those two kids were, huge coming up when they did in May to get this ball club going. But they got off to a slow start at the early part of the year. What you do or don't do, I say, Booney, in April and May tells you what you have to do in September. But I think this ball club is creating that with a young lineup with the most exciting, young, talented player in the game in Julio Rodriguez. He's off to a slow start, but he took off. He was hitting like 217 in the middle of May last year and ended up hitting 275 with 32 home runs, 103 runs batted in, and he stole 37 bases. He has about six steals already. Just a matter of time before he really takes off. In the last four or five games, he's been hitting the ball real hard. So they are creating that culture. There is now the expectation to not only get to the playoffs, but my expectation is for this ball club to get to the World Series and win. We're the only team in baseball that hasn't been to the World Series. There are now four other teams that have been there that haven't won it. Texas got off the, you know, schneid with the winning the World Series last year. But this club, I think, has the ability to get to the World Series this year. I really do.
And you know what I like about it? You talk about the young pitching and a plethora of pitching. You have actually too much pitching, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because that gives you flexibility at the trading deadline this year. Depending on the position your club's in, you have equity. You have equity. You have extra pitching. So if you need to go out and get that one piece that puts you over the top, Jerry's going to have that luxury.
And that's what they did a couple years ago. That's when they got Luis Castillo at the end of July. And that was a huge trade. And he's one of the best in the game.
Let's talk about Houston a little bit. They're off to last place in the division. Nobody thought that. The Oakland A's are ahead of them. They're 7-16. They still have that dangerous group of offensive players with Altuve, Peña, the young shortstops. Had a what they call a sophomore slump last year. He's Kyle back Tucker. Doing it again. Kyle Tucker, Alvarez, who's just a beast. Ooh. I mean, the one player, one of the biggest difference makers in the game. The problem is Verlander made his first start the other day. I don't know. He's like 57 years old now, but he's still doing it. Valdez and Javier, key to their run last year, big keys to that team's success the last several years. They're both on the shelf. Verlander just coming back. And surprisingly, you know, I looked at him before the season. I said, well, Houston's going to be tough again. They didn't really add to the starting pitching. Verlander started on the IL. But what I see is that power bullpen. They went out and got Hader, the best probably relief pitcher on the market. He's off to a real rocky start. And I don't know how much this played into it, but Presley was their closer. Yeah. And all of a sudden, when you're the closer and you're getting it done, I don't care how good of a guy you are. When they go out and sign a Hader, it's kind of like, wait a minute, this is my job. Now you've got to say the right things and do it and find room for both of you. They're both off to rocky starts. I look at that roster. The 7-16 start, yes, horrible. They're not what they once were, but they still have the firepower to get it going. If Valdez and Javier come back and Verlander continues to defy old age, Presley and Hader are going to get it going in that bullpen. That bullpen's going to be tough. I don't dismiss them right away. Rick Riz's thoughts on the Houston Astros.
Booney, you've seen it many, many times. The Mariners traded away Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson left, Alex Rodriguez signed the big contract, and Pat Gillick put together a ball club. He signed a Brett Boone. That would be you, buddy. He signed John Olerud, came over the year before. Mm-hmm. The trade for Jr., we got Mike Cameron. And what I'm trying to say is that without three of the greatest players in the history of the game of baseball, Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., and Alex Rodriguez at the time, the Mariners went out, you guys went out and won 116 games, more wins than any team in the history of the game of baseball. Ichiro comes over from Japan. We don't know what Ichiro is going to be like. He's the rookie of the year and the MVP. You had an amazing season coming off, I believe, an injury with you were with Atlanta the year before, I believe.
San Diego. Yeah, San Diego. Yeah, my knee. Yeah.
You had an injury. We didn't know what you were going to do, and you had a fabulous year. You hit 330 with how many home runs? 31 home runs, 141 RBIs. Amazing from a second baseman. John Olerud, Dan Wilson, Edgar was still there. Jay Buhner was hurt, but, you know, played and helped out every day. The pitching staff was absolutely – what I'm trying to say here is Pat Gillick put together a team, and that's what, you know, the Mariners have done, you know, right here. I think it's gelling right now. What happened – we'll get back to this in Astros. What happened with the Astros, I believe, and I'm not there every day, but there's something to chemistry, I believe. Yuli Gurriel left. Abreu really hasn't done a good job over there at first base like Gurriel did when he was healthy playing first base. Martin Maldonado, you know, hit about a buck 80 every year, but he was that solid presence behind the plate handling that.
That's a good point.
You know, handling that pitching stuff. And then Urquidy's hurt, too, in that starting rotation. Luis Garcia hurt in that starting rotation. Ronel Blanco comes in. He's been fabulous. He's been unbelievable here in the early part of the year. But there's something – I'm getting back to chemistry. So here comes Hader, one of the best relievers in the game of baseball the last 5, 6, 7 years. But Presley has the job. And now, you know, Hader's got an ERA of about 8. Presley's ERA is about 7. And it's just something that it just, you have like the too many stars theory. I think that's why right. the Padres had an issue last year. They had a whole bunch of stars and they were 82 and 80 on the season. So how does that happen? Is something chemistry in that clubhouse that doesn't get out there onto the field? And I think this is just my theory, Booney, and you can weigh in again about, you know, it just kind of messed up the chemistry on this ball club. And the guys that were there that aren't there anymore really lent to the success earlier. But the thing for Houston is that the injuries. Who knows what Verlander is going to do? He missed the first, you know, almost first month of the season. And having that Arcidian there and Garcia and Lance McCullers, you know. So this is a time to gain some ground and get some separation from the Houston Astros. That's just my take.
I think it's a great take from a chemistry standpoint because – during my career, I went to, you know, I played on probably 4 championship caliber teams. And I remember I went to the Atlanta Braves and I remember Bobby Cox saying, having the preseason meeting and says, for all the newcomers, and it was myself and Brian Jordan were the newcomers. He said, what we do here in Atlanta is I put the lineup every day and we go out and we steamroll our opposition. And that's what we do as Atlanta Braves. And we throw out Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine every, cool. you know, 3 days in a row.
I'll tell you what,
that's what we did. We went out. I think we won 103, 104 games, ended up getting beat that year in the World Series to the Yankees beat us. But 2 years later, when I come to Seattle, and don't get me wrong, I don't like to undercut that 2001 team. Yeah. That was a talented team. There was Hall of Famers on that team, batting champs, gold gloves all over the place.
Yeah.
Really good players. We had an unbelievable bench. Unsung heroes on that team that played roles that year. And a starting staff that just had everybody had a career year and nobody got hurt.
Paul Abbott won 17 games as their fourth guy.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm, Rick. But my thing is, chemistry played a role. I don't care how good you are. You put together the greatest super team of all times. Major League Baseball schedule, 162 games. You're not supposed to win 116. That's too many games. And every year there's somebody saying, oh, they're coming after your record. I said, good luck. That was like a magic carpet ride we'll probably never see in our lifetime again. But to your point, chemistry was a huge part of that team.
Yeah.
We had great players, but it was a look, it was a nod, it was a feeling, it wasn't arrogance, it was confidence. We felt it when we took the field, Rick, that year. The other team folded the tent. We didn't necessarily pummel them. It would be the 7th inning, we'd be down by 1, and you could feel the other side of the field like they know we're going to come back and get them. And more times than not, we did. I've only had that happen once in my career, one magical season. So it's not the norm, but you're right. Chemistry is huge. And when you disrupt it, you're playing with fire. And it's, I'm sure Presley's a great guy. I'm sure Hader's a great guy. When you're Presley and you're a world-class closer, I don't care how good of a man you are. When they sign the best closer out there, that's a little hit to your ego. Like, wow, I wasn't good enough. I don't think that was their intention from a management standpoint. I think their intention was we're getting the best arm available and we're going to make that bullpen, that powerful bullpen, even more powerful. But in the in doing that, you might have disrupted some chemistry. So I'm all on board with you there.
Yeah. And even maybe Hader, I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. We haven't seen him. Here he is, one of the great relievers in the game. And now he feels like he's got to do better. You know, because now he's the closer for a ball club that had Presley. So I don't know. It's just interesting to see the mix. And now Dusty Baker's gone. And
That's
Prada. So that's, you know, Dusty Baker's is a Hall of Fame manager. And speaking of that 2001 ball club, Booney, we can't talk about that team without talking about Lou Piniella. I mean, he built you guys to win every day. I don't think you won more than or lost 2 games in a row until August. But Lou Piniella was amazing. You guys won 20 games in April. You won 20 games in May. You had a terrible month in June. You only won 19.
Right.
That's a joke. You just kept winning. You know, just kept winning.
It was a joke. People have no idea.
You never slowed down, but I don't know how you guys did it. I remember talking to Boyer. He said, we came to the ballpark every day knowing we were going to win that night. And you did.
Well, the press would come to us, Rick, and, you know, I was kind of the point man on that team as far as handling the press. And they'd come to me, they're like, you know, Booty, people are starting to say that Lou has really mellowed out at his old age. I looked at him, I said, if you won every single day, you'd be mellow too. It's pretty easy when you're winning three out of every four you play. But no, unbelievable. Couldn't have done it without Skipper. He was the perfect. He was the perfect manager for that group of guys. And they'll never be able to take it away from us. I don't want to get into it any deeper because I can't believe we didn't finish the deal, but we didn't. But yeah, one of my, you know, and the relationships still to this day that I have from that group of teammates, something special. And it's a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, I mean, the team that did it before us was the 1908 Chicago Cubs. So, yeah, it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So it was fun. That was a great magic carpet ride, buddy. You took us there.
Magic carpet ride. See, I'm going to coin that phrase. I should. That's a hashtag, magic carpet ride. Yeah. All right. Texas Rangers, World Series champions a year ago. Offense is electric with Simeon, Seager, and Garcia, the headliners there. But I don't know, you know, Evalde's turned into a real legitimate number one horse that you can count on. Dunning, Haney, they just signed this Lorenzen kid. The big question marks, and I think will determine their destiny. Does DeGrom get back healthy? And does Max Scherzer, who I don't think is going to be the Max Scherzer we're used to, does he get back healthy? Are they good enough to make a run at this division? Texas Rangers, Rick Riz.
Definitely. They're going to be the team. They won it, so they're the team you got to shoot for. You know, it's an offense that you have to slow down. Right now, their young, talented third baseman, Josh Young, is hurt. He's going to be out for a little while with a fractured thumb, so that's going to be a big loss. But they got a lot of weapons, you know, in that starting lineup. Adolis Garcia is one of the best hitters in the game of baseball, and he's having a really good year, batting .326, six home runs, 22 RBIs. You have Simeon and Seager at the top of the order. You got to outslug this ball club, and you could do it. The key for this Mariners club to beat the Texas Rangers is not how many hits you get, it's when you get them. When you get that starting pitcher on the ropes, you got to work the count. J.P. Crawford does that as well as anybody in the game of baseball. So you just have to score more runs than them. So that relies on your starting pitching to do their job, which you know they're going to do that. But this is still a very talented ball club, obviously. The guy they missed in their bullpen is Josh Spores. You know, and I got a note here about Spores that, you know, without Spores, the bullpen has an ERA of about 6.8. And again, there's that chemistry. You're missing that one guy. Jose Leclerc isn't off to a really good start here. Their bullpen really struggled toward the end of last year, and that gave the Mariners a chance and Houston a chance to get close to them. And then they figured it out. They've got one of the best managers in the game of baseball. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and Bruce Bochy winning three series with the Giants, winning last year, his first year in Texas. So is Texas still tough? Absolutely. Is that starting rotation going to be enough with Gray, with Dunning, with Evaldi? Mike Lorenzen joins the team. What is DeGrom going to look like when he comes back? When he comes back, Scherzer. So it's going to be an interesting race. And I'm going to love this 2024 season and watch what happens. But I think this Mariner club has a chance to move by Texas and Houston in the American League West to win this division. As you know, one of the toughest things to do is to repeat. Not too many teams repeat. So we'll have to wait and see. And you need some luck, too. You got to stay healthy. And the Mariners can't afford to have anybody in that starting rotation go down. They got Brian Rue ready to come back. But that's the key, too. If you lose a key guy here or there along the way, late in the season, you don't have time to make it up. The Rangers have lost some key guys early in the season. So it's going to be a lot of fun. This is a really good ball club, obviously, that won. You're coming off a World Series championship year. It's going to be a fun race.
and Mariners, you won 7 out of 10. And the other day, I watched that, you know, Munoz had a rough outing when he came in. And in extra innings, it was like boom, boom, boom. It was over before I had to turn the volume up on the TV. I'm going, what happened? Colorado would just went bam, bam, bam. So legitimately, if you had a little better luck, you could be 8 out of your last 10. You're in Texas right now. Then you head to back home. You're gonna have a tough series with, I'll tell you what, Riz, an underrated team. Everybody underrated them a year ago, and they did. They got to the World Series. Arizona. They're going to be a good ball club, and they're getting better. Montgomery's just getting cranked up for them. I got some off topic, off division, off Seattle Mariner questions for you. Then I'll let you get out of here.
No, I want to ask you some questions.
Well, ask me, and I'll finish up asking you. Go ahead. What questions you got for me, Rizzer?
The Mariners did something really interesting a week ago, Booney. As you know, we're highly into technology and the baseball analytics, and a lot of it is great. I think these kids in the front office do a super job as far as gathering information, preparing the team before the ball game. And for years now, we've had the old iPad in the dugout where guys are coming in, looking at their bats and things like that. Scott Servais did something really interesting the other day at home prior to the series against the Cincinnati Reds. He said, fellas, we're going to rely on our instincts. We're not going to go to the iPad during the game. It's going to be great for the preparation prior to the ball game. And I tell you what, it's meant a world of difference because now he wants you to rely on your instincts. With a count 2-2 and a tying run on its second base, he said, I want to trust my players' instincts and have them become ball players and not robots. So against Cincinnati, the Mariners sweep that series. First 16 games without the iPad in the dugout, or at least the players utilizing it during the game, the Mariners hit 204. Where are my numbers? Right here. They hit 204 with an on-base percentage of 282 with a slugging percentage of 308. Going to the iPad. Without the iPads, started with that Cincinnati series at home over the last six games, the Mariners are now hitting 266, on-base percentage of 397, and a slugging of 532. What I want to ask you is, long before the iPads came around, you guys got your information, obviously before the ball game. You saw some video, not like today, but you guys got your information from the guy hitting in front of you. Where did you get that information during the course of a ball game to get you ready for your next at bat?
You're right. It's nothing. And that's the one thing I envy about today's game, because what I wanted was, give me as much as you can possibly give me. And I just want to put it, up here. So before the game, it was the starting pitcher, his last outing. And hopefully if you had the video, the last time he faced our ball club. I want to look at tendencies. How does he pitch? His last outing, I can pick a player that I resemble on that team. And I don't care how they pitch to the leadoff hitter. I don't care how they pitch to the 8 or 9 hole hitter. I want to know how they pitch a guy in my position. I want to know what you do with a base open and two outs with a lefty on deck. So that's all the intel I'm gathering. Today, Rick, I would sit in my hotel room the night before a series, and I would have that iPad, and I would study. I get to see everybody in that bullpen. How's that bullpen doing? You know, what's Hader going to? Is he going with his normal repertoire fastball slider? Has he mixed something in that I don't know? I saw him last time. Is he doing anything new this time? All this intel I put up here. I think there's a point where you can watch too much video. You get to a point where you're so overwhelmed with it. I think you get the basics. I think you know you have your plan objectively laid out before the game, and then you execute that plan. Because if you just go back and constantly change and change and change, that's the one thing I learned the second half of my career, Rick, was I would have a plan. I would go with that plan. I would not waver from that plan. Yeah. Some days I'd get beat. Some days I'd lose. Some days I got to tip my cap.
The other guy's
over 100. But over 162 games, if I stay with my plan, I stay disciplined and I don't waver, I'm going to be the best player I can be over 162 game schedule. And you're going to be some bumps in the road, but I'm telling you, if you stick with that and have the discipline to stick with that, Edgar was a big proponent helping me develop that mentality. I became a way better player than I was. And I became, you know, my game went way up because of it. Yeah. And I don't chalk it up to more than just growing up as a baseball player, having a plan and executing that plan on a daily basis. I think what Scott did, maybe a good idea before the game, go crazy with the video, get as much, have your plan. But all of a sudden, just because we had a tough at bat, our first at bat, sometimes a pitcher makes great pitches and we've got to accept that. It doesn't mean, oh, we got to change our whole thing and I got to see some video. And where was that pitch? Speaking of that pitch, that's stupid. I just had Ted Barrett on the podcast, the umpire that just retired, umpired in the big leagues for 29 years. And we were talking about that, the box that they have on TV. And he said, Booney, he goes, there's no win for us umpires right now. Cause I'm telling you this right here. The box is not the strike zone. That's for entertainment purposes only. Everybody thinks it's the end all be all. He said, that's not how we train. So the people watching TV might think we missed three or four pitches. When we go back and get the official data, we didn't miss any of those pitches. He said, so it's really a no-win situation. So those boxes. So I get on my brother all the time. I said, Aaron, I know you're sitting in the dugout and you're looking if the ball hit the box. That's not how they train. Quit yelling at everybody. So anyway. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
But how much information did you get from the guy coming back to the dugout? Let's say whoever's in front of you struck out, walking up the home plate. Did you get something? Hey, what was the fastball look like?
Absolutely. Especially that early on, first inning. You know, I want as much feedback as you can. Ichiro, you know, who in my time, he was leading off. Macklemore usually hit second. And it was, Mac, what's he got? You know, Booney. Nothing. It's a little two seamer. No big deal. He's get it ready today. They've always got something, and you always take it. You always take it with a grain of salt, depending on who the guy's telling you what he's got. Because some guys are like, I can't have Ken Griffey Jr. when Junior's coming back. I can't take him serious. He's a different animal. He's a freak. So whatever he says, it's just whatever, Junior. But the guys are really astute. Macklemore, man, he was a student of the game. So whatever he had to say, it's like, that's what he's doing. Macklemore was the guy always picking pitches and knowing tendencies and having a good eye for the tells that other pitchers would have. He was great.
Yeah. Now, I just wanted to ask you that because this is just glaring what's happened over the last six games for our ball club. You know, and I love what Scott Service said, you know, trust yourself instead of the iPad and just go up there and be a ball player. I loved it.
Video's great. I mean, you need to, if it's available to you, take advantage of it, but too much can be a detriment in the long run. And sometimes you just have to, I did my video for a half hour today. I know every single arm coming out of that bullpen. I know that starting pitcher up and down today. There's no surprises. I formulate my plan. I go into the game and I execute my plan and not just feverishly running back and forth. I didn't think he was going to make that pitch. That's what we do.
He said it was paralysis by analysis. So I think this ball club is really going to take off. Thank you for answering my question, buddy. You're the best. Love you, man.
What do you think of these jerseys? I hate the little letters. They need to be bigger, Riz. They look like little league jerseys. Is it still a problem? What are the players saying?
Players haven't told me anything about the little letters, you know, but I like the bigger letters. I'm
big,
with
bold letter.
Big bold letters, you know, let me know it's Boone, you know, and that what's it say?
Right.
Not really sure.
It's like they're like travel ball letters.
Yeah. So I never thought about that. That's an interesting question. And I'll look for the little letters, hopefully to become, they're not going to become bigger letters anymore. They're on the unis already. But I never thought about that. Booney, you brought up something really interesting. You're the best.
Last thing, a lot of talk and about the umpires and going to potentially robo ump, or you can challenge a call as a hitter with the way they are. And I think in my day, Rick, I'd come to the plate depending on the umpire. All we asked was, you know, there were pitchers umpires. There was pitchers umpires. There were hitters umpires. There were high ball umpires. There were low ball umpires. As long as we knew as players and as an umpire, you establish your zone and you stick to that zone. At least I know what that zone is. Today, yeah, they really have changed it, and they don't want individual zones. They want the zone to be the zone. They want the umpire. I think they give these umpires today an impossible task. Yeah. Be perfect. Everybody has that perfect zone. The human element's always gonna creep in. I think the umpires, because of that box, I think they're doing a better job than they've ever done. And I've talked to umpires that are retired, and they all tell me, Booney, the umpires are as good as they've ever been. And you know what the parameters are behind the scenes that they train on. Do you hear anything on the field from the players, the umpires? Are they interested in a robo ump? Are they interested in going to what they're using in the minor leagues right now, is what they call, you can challenge a pitch. You tap your helmet and is it a ball? Is it a strike on the computer? Do you think we're going in that direction? And what feedback, if any, do you hear from the players?
Yeah, I'm afraid that we're going to see the robo umpires in the major leagues, and I'm going to hate it. You know, this game is played by humans on the scoreboard. There's runs, hits, and errors. We make mistakes, and now we're asking umpires to be perfect. And I've talked over the last few years since the robo-ump started in the minor leagues, I talked to our minor league guys at spring training. I talked to Zach Deloach, who's no longer with the organization. But I said, how does it change? Number one, is it accurate? He said, no, because there was a ball that bounced in front of the plate, came over the plate, was called a strike. But my question is, how does that top part of the strike zone change magically from Jose Altuve leading off to Aaron Judge? Mm-hmm. It's not the bottom.
Great point. Great point.
You know, and they say, oh, it's a percentage of your height from your feet to your knees to your feet to your shoulders. I go, what? How are they going to do that within 15 seconds? So I just don't think it can be accurate, as good as the technology is. But that aside, why don't we let, you know, umpire make their mistakes? Okay, I know what your strike zone is. I trust that if it's going to be there again, now it's going to be a strike or it's not going to be a strike. At least I know that. I don't want to rely on computer technology and lasers, because lasers, in my mind, are set up by whom? Humans. How accurate are those lasers from first to third base or whatever, how they set it up? How accurate is that for the strike zone? And now the last thing I want to see is all the balls and strikes being called by a robo umpire. I can probably live, if it does come into play in the major leagues, one challenge, but that's it. You know, I just want to see players be players, umpires be umpires. And you know what I hate about, you know what I dislike about the game of baseball right now?
No, Riz, you hate it.
Thank you. It's the replay challenge. I think it's good getting the call right, but we miss so much of the fun and the excitement of Lou Piniella throwing a tantrum out there on the field, of Tommy Lasorda, Earl Weaver, Billy Martin. That used to be part of the show, you know, of going out there and supporting your team, supporting your players, supporting your fan base, you know, going out there. We still talk about the antics of Lou Piniella, you know, today, but now the managers go, I want to take a look at it, you know, and then it's left to an umpire in Manhattan. I've been to that reviewing room, which is amazing. They slow it down to the millisecond. I just don't want game 7 of the World Series to come down, play at the plate, tag, out, safe, whatever, hold on, everybody's going crazy, but whoa, we got to wait, you know, for 2 minutes or 3 minutes from the umpire in Manhattan to decide whether or not we win the World Series or not. I just don't want it to come down to that. I want it to be, and the Seattle Mariners win the World Series. I want to yell that this year, you know. I just want the humanity back to the game of baseball. I want to see that. And the defensive shifts was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen, where players didn't hit the ball the other way. They're talented enough to do that. You did it. You changed your doggone stance, you know, to hit the ball the other way with two strikes. And now we eliminated that so the game can look like the game of baseball again. So as far as the robo umpires, I hope it doesn't happen. But I want these guys just to be humans and go ahead and make good calls and bad calls and figure it out over a nine-inning game.
I'll tell you what you do. All you do is take the box away from the television,
yes,
from the broadcast. If you take the box away, now it becomes objective again. And all of a sudden, I can, or subjective, I think is the word. So mm-hmm. I can eyeball it as a player and go, that's a strike. That's a ball. That's close. It's too close to take, but it's not final. You know, just because that stupid line that doesn't mean anything is there for your viewing player. If you just took it away, we would have a lot less conversations about it, and it would be up to the naked eye and interpretation.
Exactly. I believe 100% of what you say. And I think too many announcers, every pitch is about it's right on the corner or not on the corner. That's a strike or it's not a strike. And that's what we talk about. Instead of, hey, that was a great take by the hitter, or that was a heck of a pitch, you know, by the pitcher. And we talk about other things. It's always about the pitch constantly being either on that line or outside.
On the line or off the line. Right. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it's, you can't just sit up in the chair and say, hey, that's a pretty good pitch. Maybe too close. You get the call. Sometimes you don't get the call. Now it's, oh no, that hit the line. So he's wrong. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Anyway. Hopefully they listen to us, Riz.
And, I hope so.
They get that out of there for us. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today. It's always a lot of fun catching up. I'll see you up in Seattle soon.
I hope so.
You got a big series with Texas. Good luck to you. Keep it rolling. 7 out of 10. Let's make it 10 out of 13 in Texas.
I love it, Boone. Yeah, I love this ball club. I love the direction we're going. Scott Service has done an amazing job with his team over the last 9 years, and the guys in the front office, the fan base is amazing up there, and we're going to get to the World Series real soon. And always a pleasure to visit with you, Booney, and you got an invitation anytime you're in Seattle to come up and talk some baseball. It was great seeing you and your dad at spring training in Savannah. I haven't seen her in a long time. Great talking with your dad, and love talking baseball with you and when your grandpa showed up in the clubhouse. I would love that, too. Love you, buddy. Thank you.
Got it. Thanks, Rick. For all you now watching the Boone Podcast on YouTube, thanks for tuning in. For those of you listening to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll be right here.